we were applying the last few weeks some of the concepts that we've been talking about this year, applying some of them according to the teachings of Soloveitchik and the everyday Shemoneh Esrei, and the overall Mivneh, the structure of Shemoneh Esrei. And now it's time to really to get to work. To understand tefillah, to understand davening, we have to study one of the most beautiful and one of the deepest concepts in Yiddishkeit, one that's never taught in yeshivas. It will be one day when Mashiach will come, but before Mashiach it won't be taught in yeshivas. It's the subject of Malchus. We know what the word means. Kingdom. By way of Hakdamah, by way of introduction, let's start by reading the small piece from the writings of one of the tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, one of the Nikkei Hadas, one of the great tzaddikim that are still with us, Baruch Hashem. He should be with us for many years, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter. He's one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mukobolim Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, in his Sefer, V'nichtav B'Sefer, where it says, HaTfilah HaHagona HaYechidah LaAdam. You see there on the bottom of the page. This is just by way of Hakdama, by way of introduction, to start with something a little bit light. And then we're going to have at least two or three classes, Shiurim and Basic Hashkofa, just to set the groundwork so that we can enter into the world of David HaMelech, of Malchus. And when we come to the world of David HaMelech, then we begin to touch the edge of Tefillah. David HaMelech is Tefillah. He said on himself, Ani Tefillah, I am davening. David HaMelech called himself a Tefillah. So Mimela, we're going to read. So Mimela, we understand that if David HaMelech called himself Tefillah, then we have to, in order for us to really get to the depths of what Tefillah is and how davening works and what it can accomplish, we have to enter into the world of David HaMelech just a little bit. But first, let's read from the Sefer here from Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter. V'chol zeis milvad etzem adavar shalidei tefiloso. I'm sorry. The chashivusu shel tefila on the bottom of the page. Hine haven is bainin b'chashivusu shel tefila. There's blimer right here. Here, look. Unbelievable. See it? Okay. Remember? Says haven is bainin b'chashivusu shel tefila. Let's understand the importance. Let's contemplate the importance of davening. This is going to be a very simple thing just to start. Darko shel habal dover. It is the way of the bal dover. Do you know who the bal dover is? The Yetzirah. It's the bal dover. It's a kind way of referring to the evil one. The bal dover. The bal dover means the one who always has arguments. The one who always has things to say. The bal dover. So it's the way of the bal dover. Darko shel habal dover. L'samei eini ha'odam. It's the way of the bal dover to blind the eyes of a person. It's the way of the Yetzirah, of the evil one, of the bal dover, to cause a person to be blind. And how does he do that? Lakachas es rachmonus achi gedola. To take that which is most wonderful, the greatest expression of compassion and of love, as ha'ni'imus v'ha'masikus ha'gidola b'yosir, the most pleasant and the sweetest thing that exists in the world, shekia mitzvahs Hashem Yisbaruch. And what's the sweetest thing that could be in the world? Observing Hashem's mitzvahs. And what does the Baal Dover do? How does the Yetzirah blind us? U'lahavcha l'tirda l'adam. The Baal Dover takes that which is most sweet, which is the expression of God's deepest love for us, His mitzvahs. And the Baal Dover, the Yetzirah, has the power to create an illusion that these things, these mitzvahs, are a tirda. A tirda means what? A burden. Pashut the burden. L'koishi ravu kvedis gedola. That it's very, the Baal Dover convinces us that it's very difficult to perform a mitzvah. And mitzvahs are very, they weigh a lot, they're heavy. burdensome. Kegoynis atfila, particularly davening. Shuhadover hanoyim v'hamosok biyoser. Davening is that which is most pleasant and most sweet. V'lahafecha solimirirus ukvedus. And the Baldorva, the Yetzirah, the Satan, has the power to change that which is most pleasant and sweet to being the most bitter and the most difficult. The aspiration of the typical balabas in America is to try to find the minion that finishes first. Not only the one that starts last and ends earliest. Yeah? That's the tachlis. If you could find such a minion, there was a fellow that bragged to me, the Yom Kippur. They started at 8 o'clock and they were done by 11:30. That was a gewaldige accomplishment. Not that it's a mitzvah to drag out tefillah, I'm not saying, God forbid, to make people's lives miserable. They do that in certain places too, stam. But tefillah, which is sweet, so sweet and so good, has become kaved and mara, bitter and heavy. V'chiyesh, listen to these words. Is there anything as pleasant? Toy v'yofe v'no yoisi mikach, more beautiful than this. Shahanivra oymed umedaber al baro. That the one who has created the human being can stand and speak to his creator. Umavakesh memeno al nafsho. And that the human being can ask Hashem to help him in his life, can beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for life, can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ma yesh lo nivra ba'olam lo habore. What does a human being have in this world? What does a human being have without the Creator, without Hashem? Him hu yochel eskaim l'rega, kamemra, b'li shmiras ha'bari alav. Could a human being exist even for a moment, even for one moment without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shmir, without Hashem watching us? Ha'odam zokuk l'ribu yeshuas b'chol rega v'rega. A human being needs salvation, needs help every single moment of his life. L'chol adam yesh bayis. Everybody has a house. Mishpocha v'yilodim, family and children. V'chush v'chayotze bezer, belongings. Hu nizkak l'yeshuas mikol tzadu pina. Every single corner, every single part of his life, when he looks upon that part of his life, he realizes that he mamish needs a shmira, how he needs a Kadosh Baruch Hu to protect and to take care of that which he treasures. Bein the mishpacha, children, the mishpacha, and belongings, and health, parnasa. A human being needs the Baruch Shalom shmira every second, needs a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help every moment. And everything that we do, we need so much siyata d'shmai, we need so much help from above. L'shmir rabba mu'ula hu tzarech. V'atfili hi abakosh mi barish yishmal kol tzadav, al kol ashaloi. And davening is the request that a human being makes from the Creator to watch him, to take care of me. Poshut, to take care of me, to watch my every step. So that's the sweetest thing in the world, that Kosh Baruch Hu has given you the opportunity to speak to him every moment, to speak to him about this. Val Baldover, the Yetzahara, Bar Maso, in his shrewd way, Machbidolov, makes davening such a burdensome thing, Achenira Shein Lois Man Lehispalo, until it appears that you don't have time to daven. You can't find the time to daven. In the 15, 16, 17 hours that a person is up, more, he can't find the time to talk to the Rebbeinu Shalom. L'kol mil, Gemara, it says in the Medrash, L'kol mil da'alma yesh zman, v'ilu tefila ein zman. For everything in the world, a person can make time. Everything in the world, a person can make time. When a person is determined to have a few moments of rest, they'll find a few moments of rest, to eat, this Shiloh. I mean, everything a person, when a person wants something, if a person feels that he or she needs something, you can find the time. Bilu tefil ein zman. But davening, you don't have time. Chdisa medrash, doesn't a medrash. Yosef umishtoi kal yoyme v'loy loy. V'koyim litzalov huloy. which means, as he explains here in the brackets, Yoshev ha'adam kol ha'yom medaber, a person can sit and can talk the entire day. A person can sit and talk the whole day, can then a whole day in person, on the telephone, on tape recorders. But a person can talk the whole day. Then umargish shum ayofus, and he doesn't feel a weariness. He's able to talk the whole day and doesn't get him tired. But when a person gets up to daven, right away, he's so tired, it's hard to daven. It's hard to daven. There are people that can say that for years, they'll come to davening 45 minutes late, an hour late. It's an unbelievable design. It's just a disgrace to the master of the world. It's not a person oversleeps, it happens. There are people that they'll sit, and they'll have a breakfast, and they'll schmooze, and they'll take their time to run on Shabbos morning. I'm not talking about women. It's a different pachina with women, the whole Indian of davening. I'm talking about, I walk into shul half hour, 40 minutes late, like the Rebbe Shlom sits there, waits for every Jew. And then to get up to daven, the words are swelled one after the other because it's tiring, it's hard to talk. The problem is, if you don't think anybody's listening, it's taka hard to talk. So the Medrash says that a person can talk a whole day, doesn't get tired, but you have to talk 5 minutes to the Rebbe Shlom, it's a whole tirch. You have these people that daven marav. Marav is faster than a shahakal. The whole marav is not a shahakal. To go to a minyan, by tefillah who I ikur b'chayyadim. Tefillah is the ikur, is the essence of life. It's the main thing in your life. It's the ikur b'chayyadim. If you really believe that every single step that you're taking, your mamish needs shmir, you need the Baruch Hashem to watch you and to help you, and the children and parnasa and everything. Father Rabbah, kol ha'yom tzarech lios hachonu l'zman ha'mu'ula shel tefillah, as we know. That the whole day is only a person is preparing for that great time, which is davening, as the Kuzri describes, the Yehuda Levi describes, the life of the Chassid, where he calls the times where he speaks to Hashem, like the fruit, the delicious fruit of his day. And the Chassid, when he davens Shachris, is counting the minutes until he's permitted to daven Mincha. He can't wait to daven Mincha. Can't wait to daven Mincha. And now, if you know, there are people, sometimes we feel that if there were a way that we could daven one day, 24 hours, and it would make us potter for the next 2 or 3 weeks, like, you know, to sort of take care of it for a couple of weeks, it wouldn't be such a bad idea. So we shouldn't have to daven.
So why is that? Is it because it's a weak generation, or why is it?
Let's finish the paragraph. The whole day we should want to thank him and to praise him. To ask him for what we need. There's nothing that's more sweet and more beautiful than davening. It says in Tehillim, Michtam L'David Shamreni Kelki Chosisi Bach. This was the tefillah of David HaMelech. Shamreni Kel, Hashem watch me. Ki chasisi bach, I trust in you. I'm taking refuge in you. So Rashi says over there, Kosav Rashi, Sheposig zeh hayalomud b'fi David lomar. You know what Rashi says? Rashi says that this posig, Shamreini kel ki chasisi bach, God watch me, protect me, because I take refuge in you, that this posig, David HaMelech used to say all the time. It wasn't that David HaMelech, you know, when we read Tehillim, it doesn't, that David HaMelech once said this. Rashi has a Kabbalah from Chazal that David HaMelech used to walk around the whole day saying this. Shamreni kelchi chosisi bach. Shamreni kelchi chosisi bach. Wherever he went. Hu haya oimrim tamid, Rashi says, Ribbono shel olam shamreni, Master of the World, watch me, help me. Shamreni kelchi chosisi bach. Shmur alai mikol mishma b'chol rega v'rega. Hashem, protect me every moment. Without you watching me, I mamish can't live for a second. On the Shmur alai. Umilim elu hoya kol kach hashuv m'etzlo. These words, Shamreni kel chi chosisi v'och, Hashem, protect me because I trust in you, I take refuge in you, were so important in David HaMelech's eyes. The Herach Oysam Bekeser Shol Paz, Michtam shu keser paz. The word michta means a jeweled crown, a crown of jewels. Michtam le David. That's what the pshat is in the pasuk. Michtam le David. In other words, what was the jewel, the crown, the crowning splendors jewel in the vocabulary in the life of David HaMelech? Those words. Shamreni kelchi chasisivach. That was what he treasured most. Those words. To go around all of his life saying, Shamreni kel ki chasisi bach. Hashem protect me. Nimsa she tefilahu dover arei v'noi ma'oid ma'oid. So tefilah is something which is sweet and very, very pleasant. V'asha kol chayi odem tluyim bach. And the entire life of a person depends on tefilah. The entire life of a person depends on tefilah. Now we're going to, you asked me, so what's the problem? Right. So, if you're prepared to spend the next 3 or 4 months learning, that's what we're going to be talking about. Why is it so hard? Chazal say that the Churban didn't take place and Golas exile didn't start Achakafru Bakadosh Baruch Hu until we denied Hashem. Over Malchus Beis David. The Zohar says this. Until we rejected Hashem and the kingdom of David HaMelech. That brought Golus, that brought exile and destruction upon Klal Yisrael. The denial of God and the kingdom of David. No, we understand what that means, the denial of Hashem, Chalila, we understand? What does it mean, the denial of the kingdom of David. What does that mean? So Pasha Pshat is that we rejected the Malchus of David HaMelech and his children. Pasha Pshat. Simple Pshat. We rejected his family's right to the throne. We don't see that, Lamaisa. We don't see that. I mean, there was one, as you know, there's the famous Ramban. The Ramban was upset with the Chashmonaim, right? With the kingdom of the Chashmonaim at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the time following Hanukkah. Since the Chashmonaim are not the descendants of David HaMelech, the Chashmonaim were Kohanim. They didn't have the right to the throne. So there's a very famous disagreement between the Rishon and the Ramban and others as far as how do we understand the prohibition of another family taking over the throne. It has to do with the pasuk in Vayichi Ad Ki Yovel Shilo, Liyoso Shevet Mi Yehudu Mechokim Ben Raglav Ad Ki Yovel Shilo. So it's a question of halach, and there's a big Ramban over there in Vayichi. The Ramban speaks about what happened with the Malchus of Chashmonaim after Hanukkah, that it was a sin, it was an Aveira. But with Derech Klal, we don't see that there was a historical rejection of the Malchus of David HaMelech. Even at the time of the Bayi Sheni, you all know that the position of the Nasi, of the Nasius, of the prince, of the head of the Sanhedrin, was always with the family of David HaMelech. And you're familiar with the names of all the tzaddikim from that family. Hillel HaZaken and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and so on, right? These are all from the family of David HaMelech. And even in Bavel, the exilarch, or it was called the Resh Galusa, the head of the exile, which was a very powerful political position, these were people from the family of David HaMelech. So what is the meaning of the rejection of the kingdom of David? What does it mean? That we didn't go into exile until we rejected the kingdom of David HaMelech. The kingdom of David HaMelech is the kingdom of davening, of tefillah. The kingdom of David is the kingdom of tefillah. It says in the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara there says, on the pasuk of Ahaviyosim al HaKodshi, so the Gemara says, the Kevin Shabbat David Baza Tfila. That when David HaMelech was born, davening was born. Tfila came into the world. There were people that davened before. But something changed when David HaMelech was born. Born when he reached the position of Melech. Something happened. Chazal say such a lotion, hear the words. The Kevin Shabbat David Baza Tfila. Kevin Shabbat Dov, when David HaMelech arrives on the scene and ascends to the throne, Ba'asa Tefillah, davening arrives into the world. Davening comes into the world. Bosa Tfilos. It says in the Pasuk, V'haviyosim al harkochi, V'samachtim, V'beis Tfilosi. V'beis Tfilosi. My house of Tfilos. The rejection of the Malchus of Dovid HaMelech is the rejection of the Koch of Tefillah. On a deeper level, it's a rejection of the power that's known as Malchus. The ability to see Hashem in all things. What's extraordinary about Dovid HaMelech, this is just begeder Rosh Prakim. When I'm saying this, these couple of words that I'm saying now, is just by way of a hakdama, by way of an introduction. We're going to be coming back and speaking about each of these things in great length. What's extraordinary about David HaMelech is that no matter what he went through, he was always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ups and downs, good days, bad days. That's the whole Indian of David HaMelech. That's what makes him different from... There were great tzaddikim, but the Indian of David HaMelech is Achasti v'lo arpenu. I hold on to God, I don't let go. Up and down on the roller coaster of life, no matter what. Lam Netzeach. Mizmor LaDavid, LaDavid Mizmor. Chazal asks, what kind of Mizmor LaDavid? What's he singing about? What are you so happy about? Mizmor LaDavid is talking about the song of David. Is talking about when Avshalom, when his son Avshalom organized a rebellion against his father. And it says, Mizmor LaDavid, Bevarcho b'mnei Avshalom b'no, Hashem marabu tzarei, rabim kov malai, rabim oimel l'nafshi, ein yishuos alei, v'lekim sela. So Chazal asks, Mizmor LaDavid, a song of David? Who feels like singing if you're God forbid, your own son is rising against you in rebellion to destroy you? So the Gemara asks, Chazal asks, Mizmor LaDavid, Kina LaDavid, it should say. It should say the lamentation of David. This haste Mizmor LaDavid, a song of David. Chazal not afraid to ask. What's he singing about? So Chazal said that David Melech said, was singing because he was happy, because he said to himself, Baruch Hashem, it's my son that's starting rebellion. Because when he catches me, he'll have Rachmanis. He'll kill me in a gentle way. If it would be somebody else, he would torture me. But his son will have Rachmanis. So we look at that, and we feel Rachmanis for David HaMelech, huh? To fall to such a place that you have to sing a song of Simcha, and you're rejoicing because it's your son that's going to kill you and not a stranger. But for people who listen to these things in a deeper way, we understand that what Chazal are telling us is the song of David HaMelech is no matter what he went through, he found something good. The song of David HaMelech, he found something to say to the Baruch Shalom, to praise Hashem, to thank him, to speak to him, to connect him, no matter what. It means like Shemaim, Shamata. When I rise up to Shemaim, you're there. Atziya Sha'ol. If I fall down to the depths, Hineko, you're there too. It's the whole Indian of David HaMelech. That's why he's Ani Tefillah. Tfila, which means his kashrus and his dabkus, naftule elukim naftalti, to be attached. So tfila, David HaMelech's attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through all the ups and downs of his life, and that was his koyach, his tfila. That no matter what he was going through, the whole Tehillim. When a person reads Tehillim, when you daven Tehillim, and you see yourself and those aliyahs and those yeridas, every person can find himself or herself in Tehillim, mamish. In anything that you're going through, you could find yourself, because David HaMelech went through whatever we're going to go through. David HaMelech already went through it. He went through all the Gehenims, all the Tsaras. David HaMelech went through it. So when he says, Marabu Tsarai, it means the Tsaras that you and I have as well. And in all those things, David HaMelech's Eitzo was Davin. That's the Malchus of David HaMelech. Tefillah. Tefillah. His whole Malchus. Asking for help and praising him and crying to him and talking to him. That's how, in other words, this is what Rashi is saying over here. The Rashi that we just learned, Michlam LaDavid, what was the crowning jewel of David Melech's life? That wherever he went, he was mumbling words. Shomreni Kelchi Chasisi Bach. Shomreni Kelchi. My father told me that his mother, Allah Shalom, that my grandmother, was that she used to always be saying Kippelech Tehillim Stam, and she was doing things, walking someplace. She was always saying Tehillim. Such an Indian in the world. When we lived in Eretz Yisrael, my family, when I was a kid, we had a Tamani gardener, a Yemenite gardener. He used to be out there like at 5 in the morning. He was singing Tehillim from beginning to end, Baal Peh, by heart, while he was gardening, in such a sweetness. My father used to sit by the window for hours and listen to him. He used to sit there, the whole day. He sang Tehillim by heart, the whole Tehillim, while he was, it was such feeling, while he was gardening. There's such a thing in the world. These are David HaMelech's people. These are David HaMelech's Yidden. The one who talked to God all the time, who are in a continuous conversation. So when Chazal tell us in the Zohar that Golus is the result of the rejection of the kingdom of David HaMelech, it means that quality that's called Malchus, which is the world of David HaMelech, and that's the Indian of Tefillah. So Rabbi Nachman says in the Kuta Maran, right there in the second Torah, that Mashiach is going to conquer the world with Tefillah. There's a whole Torah over there that would take us at least a couple of weeks to learn. The Torah there at the beginning of the Kuta Maran, where the Kleizeino, that's what he says, the Kleizeino shel Mashiach is Tefillah. The weapon of Mashiach is davening. B'shevet piv. V'hiko, as it say, oye, b'shevet piv. He's going to strike the enemy with his mouth. Tefillah. The victory of David HaMelech of Mashiach is davening. Rami Mois Kelber, Gwenim Cherif Pifios v'yodam. Cherif Pifios. It's the double-edged sword, the sword that is made of two mouths. It has the tefillah. Chazal learned it's tefillah. Davening. So it's Davki here, Tefillah, which is so precious and so sweet and so powerful, which has in it the kingdom of David and the kingdom of Mashiach, is Davki here that we find about David struggling, fighting hardest, the Yetzirah, to prevent us from reaching Madragas and Tefillah. To keep us from davening, to make it be burdensome, and difficult, that we can't. It's so hard to open up our mouths and daven. And if someone likes to talk to the Rebbeinu Shlomo in his own words, people think it's weird and silly, and you feel silly talking. That's the Indian of Malchus Hashem. This is all by way of Hakdama. Okay, now we need a couple of months to learn. So I'll start. When you want to learn Yesoidus in Yiddishkeit, when you want to get to the bottom of things and to start from Aleph, you have to turn to the writings of the Ramchal. The Ramchal is the Rebbe of all Klai Yisrael. He brought us back to the beginning and taught us from Aleph, his Svarim, the Derech Hashem, Daz Tunus, Klach Pischei Chachma, Derech Chachma, all of his Svarim. If there's a Sefer in English that you would like to, everybody should learn the Derech Hashem of the Ramchal. Any Jew that cares about Yiddishkeit should study carefully the Derech Hashem, the way of God of the Ramchal. I didn't say to read it, it means to study it. It's hard, no? But a person should learn the Derech Hashem of the Ramchal. Everybody should study the Derech Hashem of the Ramchal. It's all the Yesoidus of Yiddishkeit, all the basics of Yiddishkeit and the way of God is translated. The Derech Hashem was translated by Rabbi Kaplan. It's a wonderful translation. It's a hard siphon, it's the Derech Hashem. You learn the Derech Hashem, then you learn the Das Tunis, the knowing heart. It's also translated, translation is not as good, but it's a little bit easier to read the Das Tunis, the knowing heart. If you want to get a strong background in the subject of Malchus in English, more of a exotic presentation, which is wonderful, then you should read Patterns in Time by Rabbi Matthias Weinberg. Matthias Weinberg on Chanukah. Patterns in Time. Half the Sefer is dealing with the subject of Malchus. Half of that Sefer, it's in English, is dealing with the subject of Malchus. It's very, Rabbi Matthias Weinberg, it's in every, published by Feldheim, it's in every Svarim store. It's very, very worthwhile. It's very worthwhile to learn. You get a lot. It's not just for Chanukah. Chanukah is only a part of it. It's on Malchus. The whole book's on Malchus. Patterns in time. He has on Chanukah and he has on Rosh Hashanah. So let's start to learn. The Ramchal writes in the Sefer Klolim, the Ramchal says, four historic words. Hamalchus hi shoresh hatachtonim. Malchus is the root and basis of all earthly existence. Now, we must outgrow the simple English translation of the word Malchus as kingdom. So, you know, you think of kingdom, you think of crowns and robes and palaces and stuff like that. We have to try to rise above that way of thinking of things. We're not talking here about knights in shining armor. Hamalchus hi shorash hatachtonim, which means that Malchus is the root and basis of all earthly existence. Hamalchus hi shorash hatachtonim is the root and basis of all earthly existence. What is this? This is the Sefer HaKlolim. Chavtes. He has many svarim there, Ramchal. The Ramchal Svarm, reprinted Ramchal Svarm with explanations, Rav Chaim Friedlander. So in his commentary, in his explanation of the Ramchal's knowing heart, Das, and the Das Tunas, Rav Friedlander writes the explanation of this concept, that Malchus, that quality that is known as Malchus, is the root and basis of all earthly existence. So Rav Chaim Friedlander writes, Kol ma shebara lo bara ela lechvodo. We know the Chazal have taught us that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, He has created in order to reveal His glory. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo bara ela lechvodo. The Shabbat brachas you make, shabrocha, right? Shehakol bara lechvodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything to reveal His glory. His kavod. Kavod is a very deep concept, kavod. Again, we have to try to outgrow our old idea of kavod, which has this negative connotation of somebody pushing ahead in line, or some buffoon of a rabbi making ridiculous speeches to get more kavod, whatever it is. You know, our idea of kavod. It has already taken on, we're talking about kavod shemayim. Malach chol haaretz kavodo. So we're going to learn about the subject of kavod shemayim. What does that mean, the honor of God? Kavod. So kol ma shebara lo bara lo lechvodo. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, He created to reveal His kavod. Ve'gilui kvodo, Rav Friedlander writes, and revealing His kavod, Hashem is revealing His kavod. When Hashem's kavod is revealed, that equals gilui malchuso. That is the revelation of His kingdom. Revealing His kavod is revealing His kingdom, His kingship, His malchus. This is basic hashkof. We have to learn basic things. I'm sure you know all this stuff. But we have to just go through 1 or 2 weeks, mamish, to start from the beginning. So you'll forgive me if I don't mean it as an insult to any of you. I'm sure that you know these in Yonim. But as like the Ramchal himself says at the beginning in the introduction of Mesil Sharm, things that you know, you have to chazer over and over. So the Gilui Kvodo, Rav Friedlander says, that's the Gilui of Malchus. That means the revelation of Hashem's Malchus. Revealing His Kavod means revealing His Malchus. Means revealing the Malchus. V'lchein nikra ha-koyach v'ha-sherish shel ha-tachtoinim sviras Malchus. Therefore, in the configuration of all existence, everybody knows that there are 10 types of energy which Hashem used to create the world and with which Hashem runs the world, which are the 10 kochas that are known in the teachings of Chazal as the 10 spheres. The 10 spheres. The 10 spheres beginning from the crown, Keser, Chochma, Bina, Das. Chochma, Bina, Das. Chesed, Gvur, Teferes. Netzach, Hoyd, Yisoid, and Malchus. The 10 qualities, the 10 koiches with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And everything that happens inside the human being and inside any single thing in the world is dependent upon the combination of the configuration of these spheres, the relationship between these different hanhagos of how Hashem runs the world. Hashgach of Hashem is all the result of the interplay of these different koiches that Hashem created for the purpose of running the world. The spheros come from the word lisaper, which means to tell a story. Because it's through the spheros that the story of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is told. And it comes from the word to count, lispor, to count. Because that korach through which everything in the world makes a difference and is counted. When something is counted, it's because it's important. You don't count leaves on the tree because it's insignificant in the total picture. You don't count a grain of salt, it's insignificant. But you count cars, you count kids. The spheros are ways of telling us what counts and how to know what counts. This we'll understand more later on. So that sphera, which is the shorish shel hatachtonim, which is the root of all earthly existence, that's called malchus. The last sphera is malchus. When the spheres are viewed from above to below, it's because they're not always viewed in such a way. There's another way to view them in circles. But when they're viewed from above to below, Malchus is the last sphere. It's the lowest one. Malchus is also called Shechina, the divine presence. It's the same thing. Whatever you're davening on Friday night, when you speak about Shabbos HaMalka, the Queen, Bo'i Kala Nesucha, Melech, Malka, is the word Kala is Melech. Malka is the same thing. Malchus means the Shechina. Of course, it's connected to the feminine quality in existence, which we'll talk about in Hashem later. Malchus means Hashem's presence as it's experienced in this world, in our lives. As it's experienced in our lives. All that takes place in this world, in the physical world, Kol Chukei, I'm reading about Friedlander's explanation, Kol Chukei Utchunos Habrios, all the laws and characteristics of all creation, of all existence, all things that exist, babriya in the creation, nikvu lefi tzarche gilui kavodo. Everything that exists in the physical world, everything that exists in the physical world, has been established for the purpose somehow of revealing Hashem's kavod. Of Hashem's Malchus. Lachain b'midas Malchus nikvu kol hagdarim v'hapratim shel ha'efsharius shednitnu lebrum l'sakin olam b'malchus shakai. Therefore, it's with this midah of Malchus, that's the last week of Sfiras Omer, right? The last week of Sfiras Omer, you come to Shavuos, is Malchus of Malchus. Means when godliness reaches down mamish to every single thing. Malchus of Malchus means that there's not one molecule that's not touched by God's presence. So everything in the world is revealed in terms of its necessary role in revealing God's glory with this midah that is called Malchus. With Malchus, I understand why is this Chaim Yankel's name? Why is that his wife? Why are those his kids? Why does he have this job? Why does he look this way? Why is one foot longer than the other? Why is his hair this color? Why are his eyes that color? And that's with Chaim Yankel. And that's with everything in the world. Malchus tells us that. How every single separate thing has its place. And all is there to bring about the tikkun, the rectification, the correction of Malchus Shendaladud, of the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bayom Ahu, Bayah Hashem al-Melech al-Kol Arz, Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad u'Shmei Echad. to bring about the unification, the oneness, to reveal the oneness of the king, of the Malach. The pasuk says, "Ki Lashem Hamlucha Umoishal Bagoyim." Ki Lashem Hamlucha Umoishal Bagoyim. The Mlucha, the Malchus, the kingdom belongs to Hashem, and He rules over the nations. Ki Lashem Hamlucha Umoishal Bagoyim. The Gemara explains. The Vilna Gaon explains. What's the difference between Molech and Moshel in Hebrew? What's the difference between Melucha and Memshala? In Israel, they call it the Memshala. They call it. It's a Hashgacha Pratis that it should be called the Memshala, not the Melucha. They wouldn't dare call it the Melucha. They call it the Memshala. What's the difference between Melucha and Memshala? Ki Lashem Hamlucha U'Moshel Bagoyim. So the Gemara says that the difference between a melech and a moshel is that a melech is the one who rules with the consent and the desire, the love and the affection of the people. That's a melech. Ein melech below am. There is no such thing as a king without a people. There is such thing as a dictator without a people. Stalin, Yimach Shemo, might have had hundreds of millions of subjects, but he didn't have one person. That's perhaps, maybe he had a couple, three or four other henchmen like him, but there were not, the people did not want him. He was ruling over them. He was a marshal. A melech, the people are his. The pshat ein melech below am, yesh am below melech, you understand. There is such a thing as a people that can that will exist without a king. But ein melech below am. A melech means that he has people who want to be his subjects. In the Middle Ages, and then later on as we approach the Enlightenment, one of the most fundamental subjects that became crucial to those times was the nature of the monarchy and the subject of social contract, which is lahavdil between that's holy and not holy, and the writings of Hobbes and Machiavelli and John Stuart Mill. The concept of a social contract, if there being some sort of consent on the part of the people to be ruled, that they want to be ruled. They want a fair ruler. They want a king who is just and right. And the materialization in the secular world of what at that time was a radical concept of the king receiving his power from the people, which was not at all how things were in ancient times or in the Dark Ages. It's not at all how things were. It was the king, and you better be quiet. And I have my power by virtue of the divine rights of the king, the divine power of the king. What changed after the time of the Reformation, what changed was the realization that the power of the king emanates from the people. And they exist in a social contract with the king. This is the forerunner of democracy. Which is all messed up now also. But that's the forerunner of democracy. So the Gra explains, back to holiness, the Gra explains that meluche means hamlocha. In Hebrew, the word lahamlich means to ask advice. You know that? Lahamlich. Nimlach means to ask someone what they think. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi brings down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he said, Nasa Adam Mitzal Meinik, Nasa, let us make men. So Rashi brings down from Chazal, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Derech Eretz that he was Nimlach, that he goes and he asks the advice and the consent of the angels. He doesn't need it. But it's Derech Eretz that a king should speak such a way to have the consent and the love of his followers. So look at the word melech, that the word melech comes from the word lahamlich, nimlach, which means to seek advice, to seek consent, to seek approval. That's a melech. Ki lashem hamlucha u'moshel bagoy. A moshel means a tyrant. Moshel means that the people don't want it and they have no choice. So is this. No one's asking you whether you want or you don't want. It's not the consent of the governed. It's not the consent of the governed. It's the divine rights of the king. So the Gros says, Ki Lashem Amlucha, means that Yisrael, the Jewish people, are makablam alayim ol malchus o yisbarach beratzen. That the Jewish people, Ki Lashem Amlucha, means that the Jewish people have accepted Hashem's sovereignty by our own will and consent. We want Hashem to be king. Ki Lashem Amlucha, we want HaKadosh Baruch. We elected him. Umoshel b'goyim, the goyim don't want him. It's Shaloi b'tzon. He rules over them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty over the nations is a sovereignty of Memshala. Of Memshala, which means not of choice. Coercion. The goyim would rather not. The goyim would rather not. The goyim would rather not. It's good to be hefker. It's much better not to have God bothering them. They don't want. But he rules the world. He's Moshel b'goyim. Ki Lashem Amlucha u'Moshel b'goyim. That's what we daven. U'malchuso b'rotzon kiblu aleihem. Moshel b'nei'sol l'chanushiv. U'malchuso b'rotzon kiblu aleihem. That's the meaning of Malchus. The definition of Malchus is rotzon, desire, and das, awareness. It's the same thing. U'malchuso b'rotzon kiblu aleihem. The tachlis in a home is that the parents should be melochim, not moshlim. You understand? If a parent is a melech, that's good. The children have a rotzen that the parents should take care of them. That's good. But when a parent has to become a moshel, it's very bitter. When a parent has to become a tyrant, and the children do not want the malchus. When they want the malchus, why would the children want the malchus if they understand the malchus? Only with his das, as we'll see, only with his understanding can there be ratzon. Only with his understanding can there exist ratzon. Only with his understanding can somebody want. If somebody doesn't understand, he doesn't want. He feels that it's being forced on him. What's all the bitterness in the world and growing up in yeshivas and being told that this is the way it's supposed to be and don't ask any questions? That's a memshala. That's not a melucha. There are many, many Jews who live in fear under the tyrannical rule of the creator of the universe. But that's by the goyim the way it's supposed to be, not by us. By us it's supposed to be, the Jew is supposed to understand. A Jew is supposed to feel that he wants the Rebbein Shalom to be king. It's not supposed to be in the way of a memshala. That's why it's called Nizal a memshala. Understand? Yeah, that's this. Memshala means to be Moshel. Even though it's elected, but until for Jews, there's only such. Ultimately, there's only a Melucha with Melech HaMashiach. Memshala, no. And that's what it means in the future. That even though right now, before Mashiach comes, the relationship of the goyim with Hashem is a relationship of a moshel and his subjects, and there's this, they would rather not have it, then it's not something that they seek or that they desire. But in the future, the Novi Zechariah says, "V'ha'ya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, v'yom ha'uya Hashem echad u'shmo echad." That that in the future Hashem will be Melech al Kol Haaretz, that Hashem will be king over the entire world. That means that everybody will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once they understand, everybody will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beratzen. But in this world, until Mashiach, the Jewish people alone have this kavod. Of Kila Hashem Hamlucha, that's us. Or Moshe Bagoyim, that's the nations. Now, before we can go on, let me just make something very, very clear. When we speak about this kavod that is called Malchus, when we speak about this sphere of Malchus, that characteristic that Hashem reveals himself, that characteristic that's called Malchus, this in no way, please don't make a mistake, this in no way is referring to the essence of God himself. Chas v'chalila. But it's no way referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adon Olam Hashem Malach, B'terem Kol Yetzir Nivra. Hashem was a melech before anything was created. That can't exist in logical. I mean, there's no such thing, in human terms, there's no such thing as a king without a kingdom. It's an absurdity. It's an illogical absurdity. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom does not depend on us. When we speak about Hashem's Malchus, we're only speaking about what He has chosen to reveal to this world in our lives, in a world of free choice, in a world of ruts, in a world of reward and punishment, in the reward of Mashiach, of Das, and Bechira, and so on, but not in His essence. In His essence, His kingdom does not depend upon subjects. His kingdom does not depend upon whether we want Him to be king or we don't want Him to be king. He's a Moshel, He's a Moilech. It depends. It has nothing to do with us in His essence of what He is. Adon Olam Asher Malach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Before anything was created, He was Melech in His essence, and He is. There's nothing missing. Only in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and He has created the human being in such a way that Hashem has made the world in a way where the world is missing and there's an emptiness and the world needs to be repaired. And the way that the world is to be repaired is by the human being mamlech Hashem, accepting and revealing God's kingdom and drawing godliness into the world. And the way that that can take place is only where there's ratzon, only where there's free choice, only where there's bechira, because it's only when a human being, because the definition of malchus is where there's choice and desire and knowledge, when there's awareness. That's what melucha means. And Hashem has revealed that it's my desire, it's my will that you reveal my kingdom in this world, not my memshala, my melucha. Therefore, Hashem created a confusing world of good and evil, of darkness and light, and so on, where the human being was placed with free choice, and he was given the extraordinary and singular responsibility of choosing with das and ratzon, with knowledge and consent and will, Hashem's kingdom. And in order for that to take place, you have to have choice. If you don't have choice, then that's not called a melucha. Melech is not when you're forced. That's called a memshala. But Goyim had this, they have such a thing.
I just have a question. With what you said, how does that fit with the idea that there are certain responsibilities as Jews, that things that we can't necessarily understand, but the things that we just have to do?
Chukim. Bechlal.
Yeah, good. And in general, you know, because I love what you said, that, you know, we should understand and all that.
Right. There are, in other words, what you're saying very good, that within the Mizgaris, within the framework of Yiddishkeit, there's a big piece of things that we're told to accept without understanding.
And it almost doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter. Not only doesn't it matter, it's a mile if you don't understand. It seems to be a milah. It's good. It's adorable. Like we're talking about in the Chassidus class on Monday night, Rabbi Nachum saying it's the best thing in the world. Behemus ha'yisim. Halvai should know. So, this requires more time. We only have a minute left. But just as a haschala, if I've accepted my father as a melech, because of my love for him, and because I see that he loves me, and I've accepted his malchus with complete, total consent, that means that included in the hanhaga of my father in his malchus, in the house with his children, there are going to be certain things that I have not yet mature enough to understand. But because the overall picture is so clear to me, and so filled with my will and desire, and is so attached to my consent, mimela, those things that my father does that have not yet that do not yet make sense to me, I accept in the gedder of melucha, knowing that it's my best. Whereas when the overall picture is one of tyranny and of memshala, then even if there's something that is logical, I assume that there's some ulterior motive that the moishel is doing to hurt me. So within the malchus, there can be points of memshala. But it's not felt as a memshala. It's felt as a kiss.
You mean it's legislation after you've already accepted?
Once there's already acceptance, now you understand, my father has certain rules. And why do I have to go to bed at 9, not 9:30? Kidding me, I have, kids have kasha. My kids always have a kasha. I make bedtime is 9 o'clock. Why not 5 after 9? You know, you get these kashas. Why not 5 after 9? A little baila, so-and-so, hers is at 9:15. Not kasha. I still kasha. I love you, trust me. Trust is where there's a malucha, not where there's a mamshala. Where there's a mamshala, there's always suspicion. None of us would have felt comfortable with Joseph Stalin saying, trust me, it'll be alright. Or Mussolini, Yimach Shemam V'zichra. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, like, by Dovid HaMelech, it would have been okay. Alright, we'll continue, Mr. Shem.